You're listening to the Top Dog Social Media Podcast. Tips and tricks from the experts, featuring Melanie D'Addaro.
Welcome, and I am so excited about today's guest on our podcast. I have the founder of Social Media Examiner and the host of Social Media Marketing Podcast, Mike Stelzner, with me. Mike, hello.
Hey, Melanie. Great to be with you. How are you?
I am fantastic. How about you?
I'm having a great day.
Good. So today, I want to talk to you, since I've got pretty much the master of content marketing with me here. I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about the different forms of content marketing that are out there. You know, obviously, Social Media Examiner is one of the number one social media blogs on the planet, on the internet. You've recently gotten involved in podcasting. You've got a long history of white papers and other content marketing. So I thought if I was going to speak about this topic, which seems to be a really hot topic these days, that you'd be the perfect person to talk to about it. So, I noticed that recently it's become more of a kind of a buzzword. Have you noticed that? Like, people are talking about content marketing a lot more recently?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think part of the reason why it's gotten to become a buzzword is my friend Joe Polizzi started the Content Marketing Institute about 3 years ago, maybe a little slightly longer than that. And he came out with this conference called Content Marketing World, and he was heavily evangelizing the phraseology content marketing. And he'll even confess himself that the idea of marketing with content has been around forever. And I learned from him that one of the first examples was John Deere way back in probably the 1800s when they had their own magazine. So the concept or the underlying premise of content marketing is frankly nothing new. But the reason why it's so hot today is because it does allow small business owners, consultants, and even big brands to create blog posts, podcasts, video content, slides, you know, whatever kind of content your imagination can, you know, come up with. It allows you to create that content and distribute it direct to prospects and consumers in a way that frankly has never been done before. And the underlying fuel behind all of that is the internet and social media.
Yeah, I remember, back when people were really doing mostly traditional marketing. You know, we hadn't gotten involved much in online marketing, and advertorials were kind of the only kind of content marketing people were doing in traditional marketing and radio, newspaper, so forth, magazines. So it really, although content marketing has been around a long time, it really has changed the way people do business a lot in the last, gosh, I'd say 5 years or so. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, and I would say that the internet is like disintermediated the traditional owners of the eyeballs, right? So if you think about what you just talked about, advertorials implied that you were paying a publisher, a magazine likely, who had built up subscribers over many years that they're mailing the magazine to. They own that media company, and they own that audience, and you don't, so you have to pay them to get your quote-unquote editorial in the form of an advertorial in front of that audience, and you have to pay them a premium. Well, I think with the advent of blogging, that was the beginning of the end for a lot of these print publications, and all of a sudden, same thing with podcasting, right? A lot of people aren't necessarily having to pay radio stations anymore to have their own quote-unquote shows, and this is the secret that a lot of people don't realize is when you're listening to a lot of these local shows on your drive home from work, especially in the financial services space, those are financial people that are actually paying for that airtime. And they are creating, you know, essentially content marketing because the hope is they're providing enough great free content, yet they're still paying the radio station to be on the air. So the object and hoping that they'll get enough business to justify their investment. But now, with blogging and with podcasting and even with video, you can bypass all of traditional media. And I think that's the exciting thing that most companies are struggling with but also excited about.
You know, your book launch, by the way, I read it a couple years back or so, and it was fantastic. And you really talked a lot about content marketing in your book and really about how you built Social Media Examiner and you know, kind of the steps that you went through before you ever started to try to monetize it. Can you share a little bit about your experience with getting Social Media Examiner started and,
yeah,
you know, the whole content philosophy behind that?
Well, I talk about this simple formula in the book that I call the Elevation Principle, and it's just super easy to understand. It's great content, plus other people, minus marketing messages equals growth. And everybody knows what great content is. But the other people component was kind of the secret sauce, and the minus marketing messages. So what I did was I went to trade shows with a camera crew, and this is back in 2009, and I interviewed the leading experts in the world of social media marketing on camera and did these little 10-minute interviews with the likes of Chris Brogan and many other people. And I published those interviews on my website as original content. And what ended up happening was I built relationships with these experts as a result of interviewing them, getting to know them, and evangelizing them, right, and promoting them on my platform. In return, some of them ended up speaking at my events. Some of them ended up sharing the content. Even Scott Monty, to this day, from Ford Motor Company, has one of the interviews I did with him up on his personal blog on the sidebar, and it's been there for years. So you see the benefit to this kind of relationship building via content, whether it be an audio interview like this or a video interview, can be extremely powerful. Now, the last part of it that you alluded to is the monetization side of it. A lot of people today don't have a long-term vision with their content. Instead, they're just thinking about basically getting an immediate return on investment. When I launched Social Media Examiner, we went for 4 months without advertising anything. We're doing the same thing right now with my new venture called MyKidsAdventures.com, which is a parenting blog. And with My Kids Adventures, we're not going to do anything for a full year. With Social Media Examiner, it was 4 months. Now, in both of these cases, what we're trying to do is invest by building an audience and a movement. In the case of Social Media Examiner, it's about creating incredible, valuable content that social media marketers, frankly, couldn't find anywhere else. And because there was no marketing messages, no pitch, no sell, they ate it up even more. They shared it even more on the social channels because it wasn't, quote-unquote, a piece of content designed to convert you into a prospect. Instead, it was a piece of content designed to get you to want to get more of that kind of content. So the objective there was to grow an email list. And in the case of Social Media Examiner, we have 231,000 people on our email list now that get our content every single day as a result of that strategy. And it's really light on the marketing and really heavy on delivering highly valuable content.
You just mentioned something that's so important, and I think that, you know, one of the biggest problems that I see with, you know, business owners, professional service providers, you know, it doesn't matter what industry they're in, but a lot of people, you know, have gotten on the blogging bandwagon, but they did it without, you know, any kind of goals or purpose. So their content might not be, you know, in the quality that it needs to be. But also, they haven't thought it through in terms of what is the purpose for that. And one of the big things that I always say to people is, you know, your email list is everything. That's what you need to be doing. So, you know, as a social media, you know, we have a social media agency at Top Dog Social Media, and one of the biggest things I always talk about is, you know, social media is great, and obviously, you know, it's what we do. But my goal with social media is always to drive traffic to a website that then gets people to opt into an email list, because that's where you're ultimately going to try to do any kind of promotions. You don't want to be promoting and selling in a blog post, for example. That's what your email list is for. And if you're missing that component from it, from your whole marketing plan, you're missing the biggest part.
Yeah, and Melanie, this goes back to what we started talking about at the beginning of the interview. Those who own the eyeballs own everything. And the bottom line is, do you want to be at the mercy of Google and Facebook and have to pay them? Or would you rather have a large audience that's drip feeding at your trough every single day, week, month, whatever frequency you choose to do? In the case of Social Media Examiner, we had 7.5 million people feeding last year at our site. And those are millions of people that are consuming our content, many of them on a regular basis, and many of them also turn into evangelists for that content, thus bringing even more people. And all we really need is, of those millions, is thousands to be on our daily newsletter list, hundreds of thousands ideally, but it could be thousands in someone else's case, and a tiny fragment of them turn into customers. And we make all of our money, nearly all of our money, by doing events, online and offline events. And if you think about it this way, the number, we only need a couple thousand people to become paying customers in our case for us to be very successful. So if you can design a system that keeps getting bigger and bigger, and content is the ultimate scalable form of marketing, meaning it takes the same effort to produce this interview to be heard by one person as it does by a million. It's the same effort. So if you can produce content that has a growing audience, and the percentage of that audience, let's just say it's 1%, becomes a customer, the bigger the pie, the bigger the 1%. Today it's 1, tomorrow it's 10, the next day it's 1,000. And that's the key to the marketing.
I completely agree. You know, one of the things that I've heard a lot of people say, and I've even heard people say that they've been given this advice from people that claim to be marketers, is that, you know, today you don't need a website anymore. All you need is a Facebook page and a Twitter profile. And I'm like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You need to own your online real estate. Like you said, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Facebook or Twitter or any other social media site. So the only
thing you know what that's like? That's kind of like saying I'm going to build my house on blow-up rafts and stick it out in the ocean.
Exactly.
All it takes is one little wave to come by and the whole thing falls apart, right? Or all it takes is for the water to recede and you're in trouble. So in the end, when you're building something on someone else's, you know, property or land, you're going to be in serious trouble. And we have seen social networks change or go out of business, and that's just not, you know, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be involved with social media, but what it does mean is you should be smart about it. You should use social media as a way to drive people back to something that you can call your own, right?
Exactly. Own your real estate, own your website, own your email list. That's the most important part. So, you know, Mike, I really want to dive into some real tangible takeaways. So let's talk a little bit about some of the specific tips and strategies that you have for developing killer content that people will want to constantly come back and consume, just like you have with Social Media Examiner.
Well, one of our little secrets is each year we do a survey. And we survey thousands of social media marketers. We use SurveyMonkey to do it. And we ask them all sorts of questions, like what social networks are you using today? Which ones are you going to plan to learn more to invest more in tomorrow? What do you want to learn more about? And what we do is we take all that data and we produce a report that we give away as a great way for us to kind of get some promotion. But the secret sauce behind that survey is we use that to design our editorial. So people literally by the thousands tell us, I want to learn more about this or I want to learn more about that. And that's how we decide what kind of content to create. Because why should you guess? It doesn't make any sense to just say, I personally find topic X interesting, therefore I'm going to create content around it. That's not a formula for ultimate long-term success. In the end, you have to know what your audience is interested in, and you don't know if you don't ask. So I think the easiest tip that I would give anyone is to just put a little SurveyMonkey together, ask some questions about the kinds of challenges people are facing, the kinds of questions people want answered, and then literally go create content that does exactly, you know, what it is that they want.
I completely agree. In fact, that's one of the things that I talk about all the time when I'm training sales teams or training entrepreneurs is, you know, listen to the language that your prospects and your ideal clients use when you're having a conversation with them, when they're calling you, when, you know, it's an inbound lead or you know, they've expressed a need for the services that you provide. What is the exact language that they're using? Because that's the language that you need to be using in your LinkedIn profile, for example, or any of your marketing materials, or and listen to the problems that they have, because those are your blog posts. Each problem or question or anything like that, that's the content that you want to create.
Another tip is to, when you look at, if you have a blog, for example, don't just look at which articles have the most page views and assume you should produce more of that kind of content. And we learned this lesson the hard way. We have, for example, one article that's getting like 5,000 page views a day, and it's been getting those kind of page views since November. And it's on Instagram apps, and if you Google Instagram apps, it turns out we come up first. But you know what's really interesting about that? Even though it's driving all that traffic, it's hollow traffic, meaning they're coming, they're clicking, they're leaving. They're not actually converting onto our newsletter. So in the end, if you don't use some tool like Google Analytics, which is very easy to use, and you don't actually track your conversions, meaning if your only metric that you care about is page views, you're going to be producing content that is not necessarily what services your business best. Because here's the thing. Let's say your goal is to grow an email list that you can call your own. Would you rather have an article that has 100,000 page views and puts 10 people on your newsletter, or would you rather have one that has 1,000 page views and puts 200 on your newsletter? I'd always take the one that has 1,000 page views and puts 200 people on my newsletter. Always. Because that is the kind of content you want to create, is the kind of content people want more of. And by them choosing to opt into your newsletter to get more of that kind of content, that means that's who you want. So this is one of those things that most people get wrong, is they're looking at the wrong metrics.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you just touched on something that's really important. It is important to analyze those metrics and to look at Google Analytics. And sometimes that information, like you said, can be misleading if you're looking at, you know, the wrong types of metrics. But it is important to see that, to see, you know, what, for example, with my blog, I used to try to write content about all different types of social media content. Then I realized that the vast majority of my views to my website were coming from anything that I had written about LinkedIn. And I decided, I was like, okay, from now on, 50% of my content is going to be about LinkedIn, and the other 50% is going to be about all other various social media topics. And that's worked really, really well. And we were able to triple our traffic over the last year just by, you know, really paying attention to our analytics and changing, you know, how we approach things a little bit.
Awesome.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, if somebody is looking to design content, let's just go with blogging for now. If they're looking to create blogs and they've, you know, started to pay attention to, you know, the problems that their target market is having, whether it's via, you know, a survey as you suggested, or just by paying attention to what people are saying, what's next? What do they do next? How do they start creating content that's going to be very sticky, where their target market's going to, like, you know, be interested in reading it and continuing to come back to it?
Well, if you take a look at mykidsadventures.com or socialmediaexaminer.com, you'll notice a couple things. Most of the articles are how-to articles. And the reason, and by the way, and it's quite intriguing, and it's proven to be true, because one is business to business and the other one is business to consumer. You know, one is the person at work and one is when they're at home. Sometimes it's the same person, sometimes it's not. But the moral of the story is that the stuff that seems to be the most popular is the stuff that is instructional. For example, one of the most recent articles we did was how your kids can make Valentine's Day cards that are sure to stand out. And that article is very popular. That's on My Kids Adventures. On Social Media Examiner, we do how-to articles all the time, how to drive more Facebook traffic to your website in 5 easy steps. So in the end, you have to acknowledge that your audience is coming to consume your content for some reason, and I think there's no better reason than empowering them to do stuff on their own so that they don't actually need you. Now, that sounds totally counterintuitive, right? Why would I, if I'm in the services space, for example, create content that says how to do something when I'm trying to get them to hire me to do it? Well, this is the funny way this works. If you create great content, like let's just say I was a Facebook consultant, and I'm not. And I wrote this piece called How to Drive More Facebook Traffic to Your Website in 5 Easy Steps. Well, most people that come to that website are going to find that very valuable, and a subsegment of them are going to do something extremely important. They're going to act by clicking the retweet button or the Facebook like button or some other social share button. They are going to turn into evangelists for that content, which are going to drive even more people to the website. So what I end up doing is I create this like perpetual self-feeding system of people finding this stuff so valuable that they're going to share it with their friends and share it with their friends. And all I really need if I'm a consultant is a couple people to say, dang, that article's good. I don't want to learn how to do it. I want to hire the guy that knows how to do it. Do you understand where I'm going with this? So this actually helps you increase your sales by creating content that gives away all the knowledge that you have, you actually increase your sales. The reason you empower more people to do it themselves, but a sub-segment of those people are going to say, I don't have time to do this, but this guy clearly knows what he's talking about because he laid it all out right here. I'm going to hire him.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's an interesting thing that you bring up. You know, a lot of people are scared to give away too much information. They're like, well, if I give away everything, then nobody's going to need to hire me for anything. And you just really kind of nailed that. You know, the reason that that's okay is the people that aren't going to hire you weren't going to hire you anyways, no matter whether you gave away your content or not. It's the certain small percentage, and that's all anybody needs to have a wildly successful business, that are just like, I don't want to do any of this myself. Like, I'm one of those people. I'm like, I don't want to do anything myself. If I can hire somebody else to do it, either as good as I could or better, I'm hiring them. I don't want to do it myself. If I can, anything that I can, you know, get somebody else to do is great.
If you go to a website, by the way, and you see that tens or hundreds of people are commenting about how great the article is, and it's really detailed and depth and has high social share numbers, which is social proof, that would be enough evidence for you to say, well, this person knows what he or she is talking about. Since I need to find someone, I may as well contact this person, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you positioned yourself as an authority on that topic.
Exactly. Speaking of that, you were going to say something else. I'm sorry, interrupted.
Yeah,
you.
So speaking of that, you know, well, actually, there was a couple things. You know, one of the things is, you know, a lot of people will blog for the sake of blogging, and they'll throw up content with, you know, maybe 300 to 500 words, you know, quick, short blog post. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that there is a place for that kind of content. Typically, that's an opinion piece or it's news. For example, Mashable does that, right? I mean, Mashable is the newspaper, right? So they publish like 30, 40, 50 times a day. And they're just putting out short little quips about what's going on with the latest change here or there. There is a place for that kind of stuff. So people that want to keep up with the absolute latest news or people that really care about your opinion, and your opinion doesn't require 1,000 words, that there's a place for that. But I can tell you that the vast majority of the world doesn't care about either of those two things. The vast majority of the world cares about themselves, not you, so they don't care about your opinion, and they don't have time to track all the news. So they care about themselves. So if you can create content that empowers them to do something on their own, then that's going to be the most valuable form of content. And if you study what we do at our two websites, we have at least 1,000 words, and you've written for us. You know we have a very complicated, detailed editorial process, right? And the end result, though, is super high quality content. So it's just really hard to have a really valuable piece of content that's only 300 words. That's just a couple paragraphs, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So you'll find on our site 1,000 to 2,000 word articles. They're deep. They're the kind of thing you would read in a magazine. They're not the kind of thing that you would just read in a little column in a newspaper. So in the end, there is a correlation between quality and quantity in the case of length. Deeper content that is truly valuable, not just wordy, but valuable, right, with lots of subheads, small paragraphs, lots of images. That's the kind of stuff people love, and they love to share.
Right. It needs to, and that's one of the things that you guys do so well at Social Media Examiner is you lay out your blog posts really well, and there's a lot of graphics, there's a lot of subheaders, lists, and so forth, so that it's very visually reader-friendly, because a lot of people will say, I don't have time to read, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 word article. Well, you would.
They don't even realize it, right? They don't even realize it, because once they're drawn into it, they love it, and they keep reading. But, you know, if it comes to an end abruptly, they're not going to be very happy. They're going to say, oh, that was kind of, you know, shallow.
Yeah, exactly. It's like watching a movie that has a really terrible ending, right? You're like, well, you know, what happened?
Or it's like seeing this awesome swimming pool, and then you step in and you realize it's a kiddie pool.
So what do you think about, you know, the people that, you know, just are self-proclaimed non-writers and are thinking about outsourcing their content marketing to some overseas company? What's your thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, I have no issue with people acknowledging their strengths and weaknesses, right? So I'm a writer. I wrote a book on writing, and I know not everybody can write, and obviously I had an entire business banking on that, right? That there are people out there that just cannot write and need professional writers. So I am 100% on board with people hiring journalists or professional writers, wherever they are in the world, to create great content. And I say wherever they are in the world truly, because it doesn't matter where they are. There's some incredible writers, and the internet has made the whole world accessible to them. Now, having said that, I think what you're really asking me is these, you know, overseas, cheap, we'll write something for $10 or $15 for your website kind of garbage. I am totally opposed to that. I do not, you know, think that if you're trying to game Google, it's ever going to work, you know. You need to be thinking about humans, and you need to be thinking about their discernment and ability to know good from bad. And it does make sense to hire journalists and writers to create great content for your website if, A, you don't have the time, or, B, you don't have the talent.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day who was saying that, you know, in the past they had hired a company to spin articles for them, and that was the kind of their content marketing strategy.
yeah, well, so, you know what? Google is kind of getting smart to that kind of stuff, and, you know, again, you never want to create content just for one objective. And if your goal is to get Google traffic, it doesn't necessarily mean that's wise. And so many people, they don't understand, again, this goes back to so many different things we've been talking about today, Melanie, they do not understand that just because they get a lot of traffic, like, for example, at Instagram, one I mentioned, you know, we get a ton of traffic, but it's done nothing for the business. So in the end, you got to optimize for humans, not for algorithms.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I know you have coming up is Social Media Marketing World next month in San Diego, the end of March, and I was at your first one last year. It was phenomenal. And one of the things I know that, you know, is big on the list is a lot of speakers on content marketing, obviously all social media topics. But why don't you just take a minute and share a little bit about what people could expect to learn at Social Media Marketing World.
Yeah, thanks. So it's in San Diego, so if you're freezing somewhere in the world right now, come to warm San Diego. It's March 26th, 27th, and 28th, and we have 2,000 marketers from all over the world coming together and a lot of these marketers are small business owners, coming to basically figure out how to use social media to take their business to the next level. And we have four tracks. One of them is content marketing. The other ones are community management, social tactics, and social strategy. And it's a really, really incredible opportunity to network, as I'm sure you can testify. I mean, we've done just an amazing job this year. We have our opening night party on a naval aircraft carrier. So literally before the conference starts, everybody goes on an aircraft carrier and they network and they get to meet each other, and it's a really awesome environment. And we've even got dedicated space called Networking Plaza where people can skip out on sessions if they want and just, you know, do business or do interviews or get to meet people. We even have people that are hired, their sole job is networking ambassadors, and their job is to connect you with other people. But I think the coolest part of it is the content. We have recruited the best of the best in the world of social media to teach everything you would ever want to know. And there's plenty in about blogging, podcasting, video marketing, and just about every social network you could ever imagine. So that's my high level on it. You were there last year. What did you think?
It was fantastic. I mean, you know, the content was phenomenal. The speakers were fantastic. And one of the best parts of it for me was the networking was amazing. So, you know, you definitely, one of the things I love about how you did that event, you really set it up from, you know, from the very beginning evening with the networking event to the final event. When was the boat cruise last year? Was that on the last day?
No, that was on the second day.
On the second day, which is actually even better because you...
Yeah, we went out on San Diego Bay on a boat. And by the way, we've got something exciting planned this year, too, that we haven't announced yet.
Great.
Yeah, we build so many different opportunities for people to get to know each other. And this is what I hated about most conferences. You go to a conference, you don't know anyone. Well, like, we go out of our way to make sure you know people. We have private LinkedIn groups set up so you can network with people before, during, and after. This year we've even got interest groups, so you can put little stickers on your badge and say, I'm a blogger or whatever, you know. And then when you go around and you meet people, you can look for the little stickers, and you can say, oh, you're a blogger too? Cool. What do you blog about? And we're actually going to have interest group meetups and everything. So it's kind of built into the fabric of this conference, and it's not something I've ever seen at any other conference.
I completely agree. That was actually something that I was going to mention is, you know, I've been to zillions of conferences and seminars and events, and there's very few of them that really kind of set the stage to encourage networking and to encourage, you know, meeting new people. And that was one of the things that I noticed, you know, definitely about your event from day one, from the first evening. It was just, you encouraged that. You set the stage for that. And I think that that's one of the most valuable things that people can get out of attending an event like that is the connections that you're going to make, the relationships that you're going to build, and, of course, the amazing content that you're going to learn that's going to help grow your business. And, I mean, I know that there's a lot of content there, but, you know, you just basically select. You can select whatever you want to, which is also great because there's all the different tracks, right? You can select what's of interest to you. So it's not like going to a typical seminar where you have to sit through whatever next speaker is coming up. You choose the speakers you want to listen to.
Yeah, we've got 9 simultaneous sessions going on, so you can kind of pick and choose whatever you want. And did you notice how accessible a lot of the high-profile speakers were, too?
Everybody was accessible, yeah.
And that's cool because you know what we talked about earlier about how content strategy of working with high-profile people and interviewing them stuff. I did not – a lot of conferences have private speaker rooms, and I chose to just not have one at all. So what does that do? That forces the speakers into the same areas where everyone else is hanging out. And I think that's what made it so intimate is that you could be standing right next to Chris Brogan or Mari Smith and just start up a conversation without any problem at all.
Yep, and they were all very receptive to speaking. I mean, and all the speakers that you've brought on are not just first-rate quality speakers, but they're also just very wonderful, giving people that give with their content and give with their time. So it was great. And, you know, Mike, one of the things I love about you is that everything you do is first-rate. You know, you're just quality all the way from, you know, the content that you produce on Social Media Examiner to your podcast to the way that you produce both virtual and live events. They are quality all the way. I've never been to an event that's, you know, was run so well, and that was your first one last year.
Well, thank you. I used to own a design agency, and I'm big in user experience. So visuals, I mean, our visuals are very, I think, awesome and creative. But I also am big into user experience. So you'd laugh if you could see behind the scenes how I'm working with them to come up with spatial dynamics issues and making sure there's enough flow and hangout areas and just, you know, experiences. We're trying to be like Disneyland almost, you know what I mean? Like experiences, but for business people, you know, in the context of San Diego on the water front, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm a serious thinker, you know, this has just always been something like if I were to do a conference, this is how I would do it. Well, now I've got one. And a lot of people really, really reacted exactly the same way you reacted, and it's so good to hear, you know, because we work very hard, and there's a massive team behind the scenes that pulls something like this off.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of work that goes into that, and you guys definitely did it fantastic. It was amazing. And I'm sure this year is even going to be better because of the experience that you had last year and putting together this event. So I'm looking very forward to it. It's going to be a fantastic event. So before we wrap up, why don't you just share, you know, one of your, you know, little secrets to making sure that all the content that you create is just first rate all the way?
Well, there's so many little secrets.
Okay, share multiple secrets then.
I mean, I've shared some of them, right? I mean, surveying my audience, knowing who they are, knowing what they want is, I think, you know, I'm reiterating that a little bit, but that's so important. And then analyzing the content to make sure it converts. Those two things combined together, I think, really are the secret sauce to everything that we do. The other secrets that we have is we have a massive editorial team behind the scenes that does what we call a beautification process on the articles, and you probably experienced this yourself, having written for us. So we've got really talented writers that write for us on Social Media Examiner side, and on the My Kids Adventure side, most of them are not writers by trade, but in both cases, we have at least 7 editors that are involved with every single article. So that's why we call it the beautification process. Everything from, you know, making sure the English language is perfect to getting all the graphics taken care of to optimizing each of the articles for search to writing headlines and openings that are designed to pull people in. All these kind of things we do. So we run like a real magazine. And that's our secret. Yeah. You know, we probably have the largest editorial team on the planet for a blog that's not a newspaper site. And
right.
we have the highest standard in the world. You're just not going to find anywhere in any category the kind of standard that we consistently produce every single day. It costs a lot of money to do that, and if we didn't have our events behind us to fund this kind of stuff, we couldn't do it. But, you know, you alluded to it earlier when you talked about quality. Well, that's our secret. Our quality is what sets us apart. It costs money. It takes time. It means sometimes saying no to things because it doesn't meet our standard. Other times it means putting together really detailed editorial guides, which I'm sure you've seen, that help our future writers know how to write to our standards. We've had so many writers that have written for us that have gone on to write for themselves even better because they've learned from us, you know, what makes great content. So just at a high level, you know, it's that standard and expectation of quality that our audience has come to expect that sets us apart, and we do everything we can. We invest heavily in the content, even though the content doesn't make us any money. You know, in the end, it does, right, because it drives enormous traffic to our website, and many of those people end up coming to our events.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the important things for, you know, people that are listening to this to know is, you know, to create, as you mentioned, as to create great content is time-consuming. It can be costly. So, you know, my personal opinion, and tell me if you agree with this, Mike, is less is more. If you can't create quality content once a week, for example, then create it once a month. But whatever you're going to do, make sure it's done well.
I agree. I will tell you, for example, with My Kids Adventures, we're only doing three times a week right now, you know, because we just have to eventually scale that up, you know. I will tell you, though, that if you can get to the point where you can create higher quality content regularly, you can ultimately grow faster. And that's what I talk about in my book launch. You know, I found that most content has about a 72-hour shelf life. So if you can produce two a week, you can cover most of the week, right? So eventually some stuff peters out, right, because after a certain period of time, people move on from it. But in the case of My Kids Adventures, we've been surprised to see that it's more evergreen kind of content. And some of the articles that initially didn't perform very well turned out to be huge performers in the long run because of some of the topics being evergreen, you know, and people seem to be seeking it out all the time. But I'm with you. Start small. Measure the growth. Yep. Measure it. Make sure it works. And if it does work, then invest more in it. It's that simple, right? Try something. Track it. If it works, use it as justification to do more of it. And if you have to hire someone to do it, do it. That's the key to growth.
And there's so many different forms of content that you can create. So if you're not a writer but you're great on video, create video content and have a little, you know, video, almost like a little transcript of the video as part of your blog post.
Or if you love talking, create a podcast.
Podcast, exactly. So there's lots of different forms of content that you can create and finding what works for you. Obviously, you know, creating content in different formats is ideal. As you know, with Social Media Examiner, you've got your podcast that you post on there. You've got, you know, the text articles. You've got videos. You've got slide shares, all kinds of different things. So people consume content in different ways. And so having, you know, multiple forms of different types of content is ideal. But, you know, if you're good at one
thing. You've
got
to start somewhere, though, right?
Yeah,
in our case, we started with the blog. And then we eventually started scaling out once we, you know, got to a certain growth point.
Yep. Well, listen, Mike, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, and I'm excited to see you next month at Social Media Marketing World, and hopefully some of our listeners will be joining us there too, and we can meet in person.
Awesome. Well, yeah, and I hope I look forward to meeting you at the end of March, and I hope some folks that are listening right now might want to check it out and decide to come as well. If you do, just track me down and say hi. I wander the halls.
Wonderful. Okay, thanks again, Mike. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.